mother's mouth, tasting freedom while your dad's been calling back.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo.
Hi Mo.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
That's good. You're talking pretty fast.
Oh.
Yeah. Do we need to get Kofi Kingston involved?
Why?
To do some buffering. To do some buffering.
I work fast. Your mom appreciates that.
She does.
Yeah.
She does. Then I'm out of time.
And they're having, I hear WrestleMania this year, it's going to be in your mom. The Big Easy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. In your mom. And Todd Pettengill is going to call someone. You got the mom!
You got the mom, you're right. Not the house.
Yes.
You got the mom.
Although with your mom. It's hard to tell. The walking condominium.
All right. So anyways, here we go.
Here we go. Wrestling. We talk wrestling. What do you want to talk about?
Nothing.
Wrestling?
Yeah, I watched TNA last week.
Sorry about that.
No, it was good.
What?
Well, it was in front of like 14,000 people or whatever in
that England. That England there?
Yeah, and so you had this great crowd. They actually looked Major League, and they have new, fresh faces, and they have a original look, and, you know, it was a good show.
So you watched it on PVR and skipped all the Dixie segments?
There was really hardly any. She wasn't there, I don't think. And that's why I realized I stopped watching the show. Is because Dixie was on for about 30 to 40 minutes a show,
yeah,
and she killed it. Every time she's on 25 to 33% of the show, she would destroy it. I would no longer watch the show, and that's why I'd be having me watching it. But she wasn't there for this, and now the lockdown match looks like it's writing around the storyline.
Excellent.
So she will no longer be a regular on-screen character, so I may go back to watching TNA.
Possibly. Well, and I mean, yeah, it's kind of funny because, we have a new feed. On iTunes.
What?
About that last week. I know, we have a new feed.
What?
And so part
Why
of that
didn't
is...
we tell people about that?
Oh, we should have, I know, I'm sorry. What I was doing the other day was I was changing over some of the old show links to the new show links.
Good, good, thank you.
And one of the things I got back from, I think, like 2011...
I do have to thank you for all the work you did on that. That was great.
Right, you did more than I did, so... But,
that's true, but, you know, I expect more of me.
That's true, especially in eating contests. But it was a 2011 episode, and it was at the end of the thing. I forget what episode it was, but it was like, and the guys also talk about why Dixie is just a stupid money mark. And it was like from almost 3 years ago.
Could it be applied today?
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Tremendous. Raw. Raw was war.
That was just Raw.
Oh, sorry. I had this week off.
Yeah.
So you know what I did?
Watched the network.
I watched the network. You know what else I did?
What?
Nothing.
Yeah. You're a dweeb.
I need to do laundry. So a couple Raws.
I did. I noticed I managed to pull you away from the network long enough to be able to record here.
Yes.
But it's okay, because it's still in the background, because the man they call B is watching it.
Yes, he's watching WrestleMania 4.
That'll always make him happy.
There's a battle royal right now.
Is Sam Houston in it?
Well, not anymore. Sam Houston, he's kind of light and possibly very easy to throw over the top rope. But Sika certainly isn't light, and he was a goner. So, that happened. Yeah, so we'll just jump right into it. The return of CM Punk.
So
you were pretty sure we were going to have the return of CM Punk.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Let's actually go into this a little bit.
Okay.
So we got a question, of course, on Twitter, just asking us, what are the odds?
Yeah.
And I said about 20%. And you came back, you said about 80% he'll be there. I said about 20% he'll be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And right before, you know, there was already CM Punk chants like a half hour before the show, and you texted me that. You know,
I was watching the pre-show on the network.
Yeah, and then, on the network.
On the network, yes.
Yeah. So you watched the network this week.
I did watch the network. The pre-show this week was Booker, which is excellent because Daniel Bryan is a major character, so he gets to talk about his boy, D. Brad. And Alex Riley. Josh Matthews, and a special guest this week, special guest, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah. Speaking of your mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She does. Actually, the producer told me the other day, we were comparing the man they call B. I told him that he snored like a chainsaw. And I said, not like me, who's like sleeps like a box of fluffy clouds. Mm. And she says, no, I snore more like a hacksaw.
Ah.
And I went, so I snore like, ho, ho.
She didn't know that. That was funny.
She did. She did. Okay. And, really and then I said, and when you hit me.
A year ago, she wouldn't know that.
No,
was
that's
funny.
True. See, I've educated her. But then, and then when you shake me to kind of wake me up and stop me, I roll over and I go, USA. So, that's me snoring like a hacksaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was on the panel. And yes, the CM Punk chants had already started.
So anyway, so then, like, right before the show, you're like, 5 minutes away from CM Punk. I said, yes, 5 years and maybe, like, or 5 minutes and probably about 3 years, maybe.
I said 3 hours, I think I said.
I think, okay. And I said more like three hours and 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but basically, because, I didn't think he was coming back, but
yeah.
You weren't alone. I mean, the majority of performers thought. Chris Jericho said he was coming back. Jim Duggan said he's likely coming back. Steve Austin said he's coming back. Then you had the insiders, your Dave Meltzers and Wade Keller and all these people saying he was coming back.
Well, Meltzer was told, and he
and that's it. The people within the company were saying we haven't seen him, but we still think he's going to be there. A lot of the employees were thinking they're keeping him away from us, so we don't ruin the surprise. But he's going to be here.
Meltzer was told by he didn't come out and said it, but Meltzer said he was told by one of the biggest stars in coming. So he was told by Steve Austin. Basically, because Austin and Punk were at the thing together at the UFC, sitting around each other. And then he
did his show or something like that.
Anyway, regardless of what it is, Austin was told by... Yeah. Meltzer was told by Austin.
Yeah, so anyways, Meltzer was told by... So it was the widespread belief that he was returning. And so I can't really blame Addy. I mean, yeah, I think he's a dummy. I'm not going to lie to you. I think that Addy, who has left the room, but I would say this when he's here, too. I think he's a very, very stupid human being. So I can't really blame him, though, on this occasion for thinking CM Punk was coming back. But everybody who thinks he's coming back, they're all thinking like them. They're not thinking like CM Punk. He's not like all the other people. He's not a conformist. And he's not driven by things that most people are driven by. He's not driven by money. He's not driven by a seek for fame. He was driven by a passion for the business, and that passion has gone away.
You know,
and when he says that he is done... He said, Mick Foley is a famous story. Mick Foley said to him, why don't you take a few weeks off and come back, refresh, finish off your contract? He said, no, Mick, you don't get it. I'm not you. When I say I'm done, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah.
And so everybody's misreading him. This is who this guy is. And, you know, he's stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done.
You know, I heard what you said when I left the room.
Oh.
I tell you.
That you're really bright and I really like you. And
we've done... Almost 200 shows together.
Yeah, 173. 174 with this one. 175 with you and me in the room.
And I have been nothing but nice to you. On every single episode of We Talk Wrestling. So, for you to turn around and say something like that, it hurts. I'm just...
So you're saying episode 174 is the final episode.
I have feelings.
We talk wrestling.
I just needed to tell you how I feel.
Yeah.
That's it. But,
but
CM Punk, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, CM Punk is not...
You're not working this week, so you're drinking, by the way.
So I'm drinking.
Because somebody's going to pay your bar tab.
CM Punk is not Bret Hart. CM Punk is the opposite of Bret Hart.
Yeah.
You know, CM Punk is the opposite of
Mick Foley.
It's funny, and I shouldn't even say that because it's just strange. But Like, he clearly loves the business. He loves wrestling.
He loves wrestling.
He doesn't love the business of wrestling.
He hates the business.
Yeah, he actually hates the business. But
he loves wrestling.
I do have to say that from to fans, anyway, what was a dark moment in terms of no CM Punk coming back in Chicago, you know, brought us this diamond in that rough, which was the Paul Heyman promo.
Well, the Paul, well, number one, you know, CM Punk, I got more to say about this, and we will get into it.
Yeah.
Because of the Chicago crowd and everything. But you're right. The thing is, the music played. When the music played, I went, well, I guess I was wrong. And then I thought, no, I'm not wrong.
Well, when he didn't come out right away.
It was like,
who's your daddy, Montreal?
Yeah, it was like a half second. Yeah. It was a half second where I went, oh, and then I went, oh, no.
Yeah. And they did that for a while. Remember, they did that with Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
And the thing, and then they did that, of course, with Hogan and Brett in Montreal with Shawn Michaels when he was doing the Shawn Hogan match at the SummerSlam. But, yeah, I mean, as soon as he did, and then there's Heyman coming out, you know.
Yeah.
And sat down and did the cross-legged deal like Punk. And to me, I sat there and I reflected on it as I was fast-forwarding through whatever the next thing was.
Well, you weren't fast-forwarding. You were tweeting me back and forth through a texting live, making comments on the show.
That's true. That's so true. But I had paused it for a bit and didn't watch.
Okay, anyway, go ahead. You're reflecting.
But I'm reflecting upon it, and I'm thinking there wasn't anybody better to cut that promo.
No.
Because you think of the times where, like, Sabu no-showed.
Yeah.
And this guy no-showed, or that guy. And, you know, and all the stuff that went wrong in ECW and how Heyman was just able to turn that into an angle.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least babyface himself for the company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was nobody better to do it. And he took the CM Punk leaving, blamed it on the fans, because as soon as CM Punk embraced the fans and left Paul Heyman, that began his downward spiral.
Yeah.
And he also blamed The Undertaker.
Yeah, for beating him.
And now he's got the man that can beat The Undertaker, yeah. Will beat The Undertaker in Brock Lesnar, and just... You know,
and then out came Brock Lesnar's bitch, Mark Henry.
Mark Henry. Hey.
Yeah. Who I think they're trying to get to quit again. I don't know if they want to play his salary.
I don't know. Well, his salary's lower now. You know, he's re-signed a couple times.
I know.
He's going to retire, and I don't think it is that they're going to...
Actually, I do believe originally, I'm not sure when... Was it it was a 10-year deal originally, wasn't it? Or was it 20?
10-year deal signed in 1996, yeah. And so he 2006.
He's actually on
his second, I think his second, maybe even on his third renewal.
Probably his third renewal, yeah. Anyway, so...
Not of 10 years, of course.
No.
No,
not of $1 million a year for 10 years.
He's not Batista.
Where they couldn't pay Bret Hart $500,000 a year afterwards.
Financial peril.
Yeah. Because they had that guy who's so much money. Well, actually, the thing is, he is money. And that's, again, he's drawn ratings and he's drawn good buy rates when he's being put in the position. And yet he's Brock Lesnar's bitch. You know? And when he came out this time, I was like, what, again? Can't they come up with somebody new? Somebody new. But whatever, it is what it is. But
who's new? Like, the thing is, somebody new. Who's somebody new? Until Batista comes along against Lesnar, there isn't that guy that's new.
Where you mean who's the monster?
Who's feedable?
Who's feedable?
Right, because he's got to fight fucking Undertaker.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
So Mark Henry,
he's already fed Big Show, who came back on SmackDown.
Exactly, and Mark Henry is
great. Khali.
Yeah, Khali could be another guy. That's true. But, I mean, Khali, the thing is what are you going to do? You're going to beat Khali down until he's immobile?
Yeah.
Wow. Done.
Anyways, the point being, though, Heyman cut this promo, and I texted you immediately going, well, that was effective. Like, that was perfect.
Cause it was.
That, I thought that promo, what it did was, to me, was it said to everybody, look, we know you like him. We like him, too. But now we're going to turn this into a storyline. We're going to give you a great show, and you know now he's not here.
Yes.
So don't expect him. Like, it was almost like they very politely said, okay, get it out of your system. Cheer. He's not here, and we don't blame you, but we're going to give you a great show. Like, that's how that... And so I thought that would kill the crowd from the CM Punk chance and they would move on. They didn't.
No.
And apparently, because despite me reading it like that, going, okay, there's no way he's here, and there's no way he's coming back at all this show, I said to you, I texted you, you know, sarcastically talking about he's coming back, and you said, yeah, he'll be back in 2.5 hours. So you're still thinking at that point, he's coming back for the main event. And I was like, oh, no. But you weren't alone. Again, a lot of people were expecting
him back. Until the show was over...
As soon as that promo was over, I knew it was done.
Until the show was over, it was like, ah. But, you know, the other part about the crowd chanting CM Punk and thinking that the crowd was going to die, he's not here, blah, blah, blah. The crowd wasn't really chanting. It was more chanting CM Punk because they wanted to see CM Punk.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that a bit later, but it was a lot like we want Bret chants back in the day. They was wanted fucking Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
They care who was in the ring. They wanted Bret Hart. So it was. It's a similar to Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan at the Royal Rumble, yeah. Right? Didn't matter. Rey Mysterio is one of the most popular guys in the last 15 years.
Yeah,
he came out. The crowd booed the shit out of him.
Oh yeah,
because he wasn't Daniel Bryan, and that's what we wanted.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a situation. Like I said they turned it. Right around and you know, and made it great.
Some people speculating now that's the ultimate swerve if he comes back now and not in Chicago.
That's stupid.
But I don't see it like that. Like I say, I believe he's not the same as everybody else. Which brings me to the other thing is, you know, I find a certain begrudging admiration for a guy who can walk away from that type of money and will keep his word and just say, that's it, I'm done. That he's Jack Briscoe. That, you know, that's it, I'm done. But the fact is, the crowd is booing the shit out of John Cena. I mean, he came out, they booed the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah.
They booed the shit out of Hunter and
Hunter and Stephanie.
Stephanie especially. And it wasn't...
heat segments.
But it wasn't we hate your character. It was we hate you.
We hate you. Yes. And they didn't do anything.
No, and that's the thing
that
I'm saying.
Hunter, though. Okay, let's just say, they didn't do anything now. You reap what you sow. 2011 or 2012, whatever it was. When was the promo? 2011.
Summer of 2011.
Yeah, summer of 2011. I said it then. We stopped doing a show for 3 months. Pedigree 1, 2, 3. Fuck you. You reap what you sow.
Yeah, and then we give you a 437-day thing. We give you a match against Undertaker. And
it doesn't matter, though. I mean,
Two matches against The Rock and one including one at the Royal Rumble. You know what? Yeah, it does reap what you sow. I mean, this guy got every... I'm sorry. No, I don't buy that bullshit. But I will say this...
For Hunter? Yeah, you reap what you... Huntor.
No.
Yeah. Sorry, the guy doesn't want to fucking fight Hunter because he doesn't think it's a big match. Why? Because he's probably just going to take a pedigree and fuck off? No. Really, if that's
the only one of the many reasons why he left. But I mean, the thing is, here's the thing: it doesn't matter if he wants to do it or not. You signed a contract.
Mm-hmm.
You don't leave. You didn't give 2 weeks. At least give him the chance to write the storyline. You don't. You just walk out the day of. Again, I'm sitting there, and they're booing the shit out of John Cena. John Cena. I mean, sure, I'm watching Nikki and Brie. I'm thinking Brie's looking pretty good, and Nikki's looking like John Cena. She's out of position. Her offense looks awkward and fake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he can't wrestle and he's an annoying promo, but you know what? That guy gets hurt. He still shows up to work. He never takes a day off. He will fight through injuries, and he has never left you, and he won't leave you. You're going to have to drag John Cena out of this goddamn ring because he's half dead get him out of there. And meanwhile...
Which one has the tits again?
His. Nikki.
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 Nikki. Yeah. But again, you're booing this guy. Frankly, mm-hmm. I have right now a lot more admiration for John Cena than I do for CM Punk. You guys are chanting for CM Punk and you're booing all these people. I'm sorry, CM Punk walked out on you. They didn't kick him out. They didn't suspend him. They didn't say, you know, CM Punk left.
Yeah.
And you can't sit there and boo them and blame them going, you're not giving us CM Punk, when the truth is, if they had their choice, they'd give you CM Punk.
No, they wouldn't give you CM Punk the way that the people that want CM Punk would necessarily want CM Punk to be seen. I mean,
he was in a better position than Daniel Bryan going against Sheamus if he doesn't walk away.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fuck that.
Yeah. No, he definitely was.
You know, the crowd of Chicago...
I mean, but two wrongs don't make a right.
Oh, that's bullshit.
That's fucking bullshit.
That is bullshit.
They fucked up Daniel Bryan, too, so CM Punk should just be lucky.
Hey, you know what? I'm just saying from his perspective, yeah, like this guy, I'm gonna sit there and say, I love that this crowd loves CM Punk, and Chicago's the best crowd in wrestling in 2014. I'll never miss a show, pay-per-view, anything from Chicago. They're the best. It is too goddamn bad that they don't have a stadium feasible to hold a WrestleMania in, because they would be incredible. They're the best wrestling crowd.
Soldier Field?
No. Montreal is the best crowd I've ever seen, and historically I think is the greatest wrestling crowd. New York and Toronto are up there as well. Philadelphia, obviously. But in 2014, 2013, 2012, it's Chicago. Best crowd in the world. But that said...
That's their gimmick.
That is their gimmick right now, is that they're the best in the world.
Yeah.
Chicago. But that said, like I say, this crowd was... They're missing the point, you know, on this night.
Yeah, they want what they want. It's a hometown. Guys, it's like we want Brett Chance is kind of how I read it.
Brett got screwed. There was a difference. Punk didn't get screwed. That's the difference.
I remember we want Brett Chance during Lex Luger matches. I mean, before, you know, in 1994.
Because Brett was getting screwed for this guy who was shitty.
He was getting pushed aside for this guy that they thought
would be the next Hulk Hogan who was shitty.
Oh, yeah. So, he was getting pushed aside for Batista. I mean, Luger. Same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It was the same thing.
Brett didn't walk out.
Well, no, he did
not
yet.
It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing.
I'm not saying it's the same thing. I'm just saying that they're the same chance because they want what they want.
Okay, they're chanting for CM Punk. They would be chanting for him even if he's there. The booing and the hatred of the other people is because that's where it's his place. That's what I'm saying.
But, you know, the benefit of that, though, again, the benefit...
At least they made for an entertaining show.
The benefit of that, and there was these Twitter and these online and these Facebook, hijack Raw, right?
Yeah.
And they just turned into a storyline.
Yeah.
So hijack Raw got hijacked.
They were smarter than you on this night.
Yeah. Yeah.
WWE was smarter than you.
Hijack Raw got hijacked.
Daniel Bryan came out and cut a promo playing into them hijacking the show.
Yeah.
That was... gave them the exact reaction they wanted.
Oh, yeah, they played it like a fiddle, and it was tremendous. I had a lot of admiration for everybody involved. Yeah. You know, Heyman, Hunter, you know, Stephanie, Brian, even,
job.
You know, just, yeah, great job. Great job all around.
Now, speaking of
Cesaro.
Speaking of, well, that was the one thing. It was like, okay, we ran long. Cesaro and Langston, you're going 45 seconds, and the next time you're going 12. When it's Langston and Swagger.
Well, but at least that made sense. I like that. Swagger was like, okay, fuck you, ran out of the ring.
Yeah. But I liked Zapp going, hug it out. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
But, I enjoyed the Raw. I mean, the Usos are awesome.
Yeah, Usos tag team champions. Yes.
Finally see. And as soon as they booked that, I thought, and I sent you this text, I said, that's also smart, because now this crowd, when they don't get CM Punk, they can't say they're ripped off, because they saw a title change when titles
are meaning
a little
more
right now.
That's right.
So that title change actually meant something, and especially meant something for them, so the crowd can't sit there and go, we're ripped off, we didn't get CM Punk. It's like, no, we fucking gave you something pretty cool here.
Yeah, we gave you a tag title match. We gave you Batista against fucking Daniel Bryan, for God's sake.
Yeah, exactly, for the second time ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not first time ever, like they were saying. Second time, but anyways. But
when was the other time?
Like on 2010.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you do a squishy squash with
them? No, it was a very competitive match. And
on SmackDown?
I think it was on SmackDown, yeah. It was one of the matches that actually made Daniel Bryan look like he didn't look out
that's
of place
right,
on this
that's
offense.
That's right.
And everybody was surprised because Batista sold a bunch for him.
Yeah.
Batista put him over.
Yeah.
Batista did what Hunter never did. Batista, then, even though he beat him, actually put him over because he sold for the little guy for like 80% of the match.
Yeah.
And it actually made, it's part of what made Daniel Bryan where he is. I mean, ironically, is people want to shit on Batista, and he's awful right now. He just gets winded. He's old. He's slow. But he's for Daniel Bryan. He helped him. He gave him.
But Batista, at least now,
and that was in 2010.
Batista now, I think they've taken Batista and they've been able to roll with the punches a little bit with Batista, right?
Yeah.
And it's fucked up when it comes to like again, I don't know why it is that it's like this time of the year.
Yeah.
That it seems like, I don't know, Vince just pays attention.
They're on their game.
What the fuck it is, but
yeah.
They're able to like I said, to roll with the punches. And Batista, see, now, and this is the part to me now for WrestleMania, is like, you know, Batista's gone heel.
Sure.
Orton's a heel.
I don't... I guess he still is, sure.
Like, what the
I mean, fuck? I don't know. We have four Raws to go. We need to stay that story out. I don't know where they're going, but I don't have 100% lack of trust that they won't go someplace good and interesting with it. Like, for instance, you have this great six-man again, the rematch.
Yes.
Seth Rollins walking out like that. Just walking out like
that.
Yeah. I didn't see that coming.
No, that was great.
That was awesome.
And it made first sense.
Off, and it made... A, first off, he was unreal in the match.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, like, he was amazing. Best performer in the ring that night. And he was incredible. Because, actually, Daniel Bryan wasn't able to get a good match out of Batista this time.
No.
Which is interesting. But Seth Rollins is incredible. And then he does, and like you say, he walks out. I didn't see it coming. It makes a lot of sense storyline. I was like, that was interesting. Like, that was something I went, whoa, okay, I'm sitting up and taking notice.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, and it made perfect sense, and it was out of left field, and I kept talking about the Mega Shield exploding at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Seth Rollins was the Macho Man.
Yeah.
Just jumped off the apron and put his arms out, like, just like him.
Yeah,
That was the first thing I thought about, Mega Shield exploding. Sure. Right? It was perfect. He did everything but point.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, that was great.
But he didn't leave, right? He didn't sit there.
Well, he looked like they made it seem like he was going to leave.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden...
And like, on SmackDown, they hash it out. They yell at each other, but they end up hashing it out in the ring.
Yeah.
Trying to unite it again. But that's okay. It's a slow burn. Even Cesaro Swagger is a slow burn. It's good. The only thing that's not a slow burn, and the only thing that's a misfire, is Christian versus Sheamus. And at least they have a storyline. At least I understand it. This guy keeps beating me. So I attack him backstage, and he's not better than me. Fuck you, I'm desperate.
Yeah.
It's just, unfortunately, I've seen the match too many times that I cannot watch that match in any... Like, you can give me that in a last man standing bloodbath match, and I still can't be excited for it because I just seen it too many times.
I understand.
And they're good workers.
Now, though, and Hogan's got the huge announcement. Hogan's got a huge announcement in Memphis. WrestleMania 30 has got a huge announcement regarding WrestleMania, and the announcement, and we've got it actually, is the announcement is that with Frenchie Martin, Christian is going to try to set the all-time bench press record.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
God, they got to stop doing that.
712
that is so
pounds.
Awful.
712 Vince, pounds.
Vince is such a dick. Just stop talking
what
about
the
it.
Fuck? Like...
Talking about his physique and his...
Oh, he's ugly. He's got a shitty tan. He does. But physique and how much is he bench?
A lot of other people's. Yeah, how much does he bench? Well, I'm sorry. Do you want your guys fucking clean or not?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's
do
just...
You? No, you obviously don't.
No, well, deep down, he does not.
No, he doesn't.
He does.
So this guy is clean.
I have to.
I'm 90% sure that Christian's clean. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And 90% is as close to 100% as I'll get, because I'm never 100% sure about anybody being clean.
Well, the thing is, here you go.
Not after Chavo gets busted for steroids a couple times after.
Yeah, I know, right? and Mysterio, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, here's the thing with Chris, that you have with Christian. It's so funny, because Christian Edge, right? I mean, great tag team. Christian and Steve Austin, really good friends.
Yeah.
You know, and you take, like, that's what the what came from.
Yeah.
Was Austin calling Christian and kept getting his voicemail.
Yeah.
On his phone. It just went on for like 10 minutes on a voicemail message. And you know, it's never, he had some, you know, Randy Orton's got to love him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he made Randy Orton
for
a time.
Yeah.
Until they put Randy Orton back in the mid-card. But it was just like.
But no, I mean, it's Vince. It's Vince, and so, and you know what, it doesn't do any, and it's, I know it's the heel saying it, but it's the heel saying it about another heel. It's so but counterproductive.
It's shit you need to have, you don't need
remember,
to have pointed
no,
out to you on television.
Remember when it was on ECW, JBL was the announcer there, and The Miz and Morrison came out.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been... I can't remember who it was.
It was their talk show, wasn't it?
No, it was like London and Kendricks or something like that. They were in a match, and they were doing guest commentary.
Oh, yeah.
And during the guest commentary, they buried the... Yes. They were saying this type of shit.
Yeah.
And as soon as the camera went off the air, JBL turned to them and said, "You never fucking do that again.
Yeah.
You never fucking put down the guy in a way that doesn't make money again."
Yeah.
He gave them a verbal beatdown right there. At ringside during the commercial break because they were saying things like the guy's ugly and saying things that weren't productive. And then he has to listen to Vince telling him to do this, and then he has to say it through the...
Yeah.
It's just very... It's amazing.
It really is. It really is. I mean, it's I don't know.
Vince, you know what? I mean, I don't know if we'll have another match for him, but his last match there, like a year and a half ago or whatever... the last thing we needed was, I think it was a match against John Cena or something.
Who is that?
Vince.
Oh,
Vince. You know what? The last thing we needed was for everybody to go, "He doesn't look as ripped as he used to. I guess he's getting old."
Wasn't it Punk?
It might have been Punk.
Remember how...
it might have been Punk. You don't remember.
Punk, he stood up to Punk, or it was like a whole thing. It was going to be him against Punk or something.
Yeah, it might be him against Punk. Actually, it's possible, yeah.
And they had a great match.
Yeah, but the thing is...
It was a hardcore match.
Yeah. Well, all his matches.
Of course, yeah.
But the thing is, how would it have looked... He had to wear his sweater that he wears when he's not in his good shape.
Yeah, he's older.
And how would it have looked if they had said, "Boy, I bet you he's not lifting what he used to. He's wearing that sweater. He's probably not in good shape. Boy, he's getting old." How would he have liked that if that had been him on commentary?
Speaking of which, to this workout point, to get off on a little bit of tangent, but you know, I'm a big fan of the retro, and I'm a big fan of the nostalgia. Mm-hmm. One sweatshirt...
Well, I walked in right now, today, you were watching Doink versus... Kamikaze Kid.
The Kamikaze Kid, the X-Pac.
From 1993 on Raw.
This
is fucking awful.
It was.
Can we change this?
It was.
You know, the network, you have all this great shit. You're not going to watch The King of the Ring from 1999. You're going to watch this?
The King of the Ring, the first King of the Ring, actually. They had a King of the Ring report with Mean Gene.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Doink the Clown and Mr. Perfect went to a draw on Superstars.
Yeah. Nobody, move on. What were you saying? You're a fan of the retro. The network.
You know what sweatshirt I want? I want to get, what I want WWE to bring back and what shirt I want? I want an Ico Pro shirt.
Yeah, no shit.
Anyway, that was the whole point. Tito Santana was going to fight Razor Ramon in the King of the Ring qualifying. Hacksaw Jim Duggan face Papa Shango in the King of the Ring qualifying match.
Talk about things that matter.
Can't wait. So. What else happened on the Raw?
I think we covered it.
Yeah, I think we did.
It's pretty good.
The Mega Shield. Again, John Cena, Bray Wyatt, they got to figure out a new thing to do with it. John Cena comes out to address the Wyatt family. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks in a row?
Oh, yeah.
Next week, let's do something different.
Yeah, they need something different now. But it doesn't... as long as Bray Wyatt gets a chance to cut that promo, and he's such a great promo, it's going to be great. One of the things I did like was when the lights went off and it has them in the background. It wasn't "We're here," it was "Chicago."
They did that with Green Bay, too.
Yeah, and
it's
like
live,
that.
Yeah. Green Bay, we're here. Because Green Bay was this way... And Chicago was just, you tell, it definitely is.
Well, I mean, it's still pre-taping it.
I was going to say, you don't have to do it live. You can pre-tape it, right?
Yeah.
But that day, you know. You were telling me, too, that John Cena says the future goes through him.
That's what he's saying, yeah.
See, so what I didn't know was that the future is Nikki Bella's hepatitis. If the future
goes.
The future goes.
And Mickey James and. Future of the, like they said, John Cena.
Kelly.
Well, yeah. John Cena, male slut. Mm-hmm. Not as bad as CM Punk.
Or.
We'll get to it.
Oh!
We're not going to do it.
Hold on, I'm talking about it, right?
Should we have our special guest on, or do we still want to talk about it?
We can just talk about it. I want to talk about it.
Speaking of male whores.
Oh!
An actual professional in the oldest business in the world. Your buddy and mine. Frequent show guest.
Buff, he's the stuff, and apparently the ladies just can't pay enough.
No.
But Buff Bagwell
is actually
a whore.
Is on TMZ. Buff Bagwell is a gigolo.
Okay.
But actually, he's a slut. He's an actual male whore. He's He'll fuck you for money. About $550 for an hour, I think it
okay.
is.
Okay. Here's the best part about the TMZ article.
$1,500 for three, I think.
The my favorite part about the whole TMZ article was the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It just... I peed a little when I read it. The opening part of the TMZ article said, "Legendary wrestler Dolph Bagwell." I shit you not.
Yeah, you're right. It did, actually. And the picture they have of him from, like, 15 years
ago. No, but did you watch the video clip?
No, I didn't watch
it. Of him on that show, Gigolos or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like a TV show or whatever.
Yeah.
He looks exactly the same.
Does he?
He didn't.
Well, he had rips in his jeans. He tends to do that.
But his hair is the same. Like, the guy looks the same.
But now, if you're out of state, I assume you have to come to him because he's not allowed out. He's not allowed to cross some of the borders.
Oh, no, he'll come for you. But the thing, I mean, honestly, and then let's just look at this realistically, all kidding aside. How much money
did he blow?
Did he make? Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Like, he'd have to have been making what?
You know what he blew it on.
Yeah, blow.
Yeah.
But, like, what do you think? Do you think he made $1 million in Hyde and Nitro?
Minimum.
So, I mean, let's say minimum, but that was over 3 years, let's say.
Yeah, I'd say he's probably making $1 million. I'd say over the course of his wrestling career, he probably averaged, like...
You think he made about $7 million in his WCW career?
12 years, probably about $7 million. Yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah.
Steroids cost a lot of money.
Well, but, I mean...
Speaking of which, how does his stuff even work after all that steroids?
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Blue pills.
Hmm.
Cost some money there, too, I guess. But, I mean, it's...
It's hilarious.
It really is.
The man has decided, and he's proud about... He's proudly touting, "I'll fuck you for money." I can't wait till he does a porno.
What? Yeah, I mean...
Like, it was guaranteed it's coming next.
I can.
Well, just because it'll be funny. I guarantee you. Like, how can this guy not be... He's going to be in a porno soon.
You think he'll be in a porno with China?
That would fucking rule. I wouldn't watch it, but I would talk about it like I did.
China buff. A buff in a China shop.
Oh!
Done!
Money! Money! Oh, I love it. Rob Black, get on it. Oh, I love it.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as Kevin Nash described China, she sure knows her way around a hog.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Oh, my God. Yeah, we'll do a little bit more buff.
Later. Well, he wants to come on. He wants to talk to us about this.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we've got something for Buff.
Yeah.
We've got something for Buff.
Well, it's actually a new regular segment that's going to be on the show.
It is.
Weekly or bi-weekly, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. A semi-regular segment going to be called Ask Buff.
Yeah. Ask Buff.
So just
stay tuned. We got a few already.
Stay tuned, people. Let's talk about Jason Albert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he used to be called Tenzai.
Yeah, now he's called Jason Albert because he's an announcer.
He's an announcer. They're like like Alex Riley, they have given up on Tenzai being a wrestler.
Yeah.
And
unlike Alex Riley, I think there's a small chance he does return to the ring for them in the future sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
like, there's a perfect guy there, him or Brodus. There's a couple more guys that you could have given fed to fucking, you know... Theoretically fed to Brock.
Well, Brodus would have been perfect, actually. Yeah. Because he's going to get repackaged and probably won't be back until, like, July anyway.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, realistically.
But he's in the Scooby-Doo movie.
Well, yeah. So, Punk's in the fucking Flintstone movie. Right? He's CM Rock or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ironically.
Yeah.
I mean, Brodus is another guy. Like, I mean, they're going to have to repackage him as what he should have been all along, a killer heel, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And a guy that, you know, he's a guy that, again, you fucking play your cards right, and with this network, and there really isn't going to be B shows anymore because of the network. They'll all be B shows, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. But, main event is the same as SmackDown. Or
Well, I just mean in terms of the pay-per-views.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The shows, whatever you're going to call them. Yeah. But, I mean, he's a guy that you build him up, and there's your, your December or you know, guy for a Daniel Bryan, right?
Yeah.
When he wins a title.
Yeah, exactly.
But, DDP. Mm-hmm. It's official.
Will induct.
He is going to induct Jake the Snake.
And Paul Bearer announced.
Paul Bearer been announced to the Hall of Fame. That's a good. I mean, it was the same video package he played when he died. Mm-hmm. So good, but more than well deserved.
Well, I mean, it's a very. I'm actually looking at this, and the guy that we're still waiting for is Scott Hall
and Mr.
And
T.
Mr. T.
Possibly Mr. T in some form with the. They might induct the Mania 1 main event.
The entire Mania 1 main event, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which.
Including Jimmy Snuka, right?
I would hope so. Well, I mean, they're all in. They're all in,
yeah.
Except for Mr. T.
Yeah.
So just fucking induct Mr. T.
I know.
You induct a match into the Hall of Fame. That's fucking retarded.
I know.
Just induct Mr. T and then everybody being the fucking thing. And
Mr. T is arguably the most important man in the history of WWF/WWE outside of Vince McMahon, though. Because if it's not for Mr. T, nobody buys that event. The only reason people bought it was because a week up to the show, everybody had interest in him wrestling.
Yes.
And it was going to put Vince out of business.
Yeah.
Until people decided they wanted to see him.
Yeah.
That's what
Summerall told me.
I don't know that we would have the network. I don't know. We'd have WrestleMania 30 if it wasn't for Mr. T. So I'd have no problem with him going in.
Oh, God, no. I mean, Mr. T, absolutely.
I mean, he only wrestled two matches, but, I mean, the importance of that match. The fact that
He didn't really even what two matches did he wrestle?
Well, he had him and Roddy had a boxing match.
Well, yeah, then okay, if we're counting boxing matches, he had three because he had the Saturday night's main event boxing match against Boxing Bob Orton.
That's right, he did. Yes, I forgot about
leading
that.
To Mania 2.
Yeah.
I watched Mania 2 on the network this week, so I got all the backstory. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna get myself
my
a 1967 catalog. No, I'm just gonna maybe take a week off work, and I'm just going to watch all the WrestleManias.
I have a couple of weeks I'm taking off in April, and yeah, by that point, I'm sure I'll have the network, and I will do other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But trying to think of what else. But Paul Bearer.
Paul Bearer. So, I mean, it's a very different class, actually, than what we've been seeing the last couple of years. As I was looking at it, I'm like...
Star-studded.
No, that's not what I was thinking at all.
Oh.
Not even close, to tell you the truth. I don't think it's... I mean, it's gimmick-heavy. It's not... I mean, there's no... It's very WWE/WWF-centric.
Okay.
So you don't have your builders, you don't have your Von Erichs, your Vern Gagne's, you don't have your Gorgeous Georges, you don't have your, you know, you don't have anybody from the 70s, you know, your requisite this or that, the female,
yeah.
And you do have a female, but she's...
Yeah, you got Lita, yeah.
Yeah, but not because they're looking for the female quotient, I don't think.
Yeah, they are.
I don't think so.
Yes.
And you don't know, you know, a minority or whatever, they're, you know, Mr. T, I suppose, but it's generally a very political thing.
Yeah.
And they spread it out. And this year, it's very much, this is WWE stars. Every one of these people made their name in WWE. Their successes in WWE, that's where you know them from. WWE there. And it's very gimmick. I mean, it's Ultimate Warrior, horrible wrestler, worst human being, terrible drawing champion,
yeah.
Flash in the pan, and one of the most memorable gimmicks.
I was going to say, a huge part of their history, though.
Well, not a huge part of their history, because
yeah.
It wasn't there, but one of the most memorable
That's why he's a huge part of their history.
Of all time.
Yeah.
You know, so...
If you grew up in the that late 80s, early 90s
era... He
turned
people on, yeah.
Then you had your Hogan, your Savage, your Warrior.
He had a
three-year
run, but it's a small run. It's no
bigger.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But the point being, though, he's a great gimmick, but
yes.
his gimmick is Hall of Fame worthy. Everything else about him, inside and outside the ring, his advocacy, his steroid use, his advocacy for it, his political views, everything about him, he's just disgusting.
Yes.
And But, you know, okay. You have him, you have Jake Roberts, never held a title. It's the gimmick again. It's not, he's not a, you know, great wrestler, but underachiever.
Great promo.
Great promo. Very strong wrestler for psychology, but underachiever. Yep. Mid-carder. Career mid-carder, never held a belt. Never main-evented, never anything. He's, you know. But
upper mid-carder.
What's that?
Upper mid.
No, mid.
Mid. When you're having matches at WrestleMania against Andre the Giant, and
which was his career highlight, and then he wrestles another several years.
And you're having feuds again. I mean, he was an upper mid. I mean, you talk about what are his feuds.
No, you're right. Yeah, Rick Martel and him. That was a upper mid.
Ted DiBiase.
It was mid card. Sorry. He was a mid card. He's a generally mid card.
Randy Savage.
He's one of those guys who occasionally got into the upper mid card, but most of his career, he's a mid card guy. Him against Kamala is a mid card. That's a mid card match. He's a career, but he's a great promo.
A great mid card match.
But I think, well, for Kamala's facial expressions, being afraid of the snake. But
yeah.
The point being that this is a guy who was a Hall of Fame promo, a Hall of Fame talent, underachiever. Career? No, it's his gimmick that again stands out. Paul Bearer only really managed the one guy, and then he had cups of coffee with a couple others.
Yep.
Every single one of the guys he managed, Mankind, Kane, Undertaker, all of these guys actually did better without him than with him. So unlike Bobby Heenan, who lifted all these people up and made them better, he actually, you could argue, held these guys back. But the gimmick is so memorable.
Yeah,
it's the gimmick that's being adopted again.
About Percy Pringle. You know, again, had some...
But they're not inducting Percy Pringle.
No, but I mean, it's...
Percy Pringle was a good manager, but he wasn't one of the greatest. He's a good manager. The gimmick. It's the memorable gimmick.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even a great gimmick, but it's so memorable.
Oh, it's a great gimmick. It is a gimmick that he
pulled off when it should have worked.
Yes.
But that's it. But it wasn't him. I'm sorry. You say it's the great gimmick? No.
Yes.
The Undertaker's the great gimmick.
If the Undertaker is the greatest gimmick, then if the Undertaker is the greatest gimmick of all time, which it is.
Yeah.
Paul Bearer is a good gimmick.
Yeah. He's part of the act.
Yeah.
He's definitely part of the act. He gets pulled into the great gimmick, and it helps elevate his gimmick. But again, I mean...
It's iconic. More of a gimmick. It is.
Even
it's
Lita.
Iconic.
Lita is an above average... good looking in WWE, she was pretty good looking. ECW, she wasn't as Miss Congeniality.
No.
Ironically. But an above average wrestler who had a unique look. Little things like the way she dressed, the thongs and all that stuff.
Being a prostitute.
These things, she was an above average in-ring worker by female North American wrestling standards. Not good enough to be a high quality worker in Japan, but by North American standards.
You don't know,
she
no,
benefited
no.
by being with
female, a female flippity-doo. That's what she was.
Yeah, she was a female flippity-doo. She benefited from being with, and she was an above average female worker.
She's triple F. Female flippity-doo floozy. You can trademark that.
I won't. She was, like I said, above average, but she, again, benefit, but horrible promo.
Mike
one of the
Sanders.
Worst promos, one of the worst promos I've yes. ever seen.
Oh, God. Remember when she was on Sunday Night Heat?
No.
Oh.
Which time? All of them. Yes,
when
I do.
When she was the announcer on Sunday Night Heat.
Horrible.
With Al Snow or with the coach. I think it was with the coach.
Yeah.
When she was hurt.
Yeah.
And that was, they're like, fucking just make Lita on MTV fucking, yeah. Oh, awful.
Terrible. One of the worst promos, one of the worst, a charisma in the ring, but everywhere else
I was
terrible.
Begging for Hillbilly Jim.
You met her. I don't know if you ever told the story on there when you met her.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll get to that in a second. Let me finish my point here.
Hammered.
But, no, not you.
Oh, yeah.
How'd she look in person up close? Mm.
Not as hammered as me.
Attractive-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
No, seriously, I mean, she was with one... She was lucky enough to get pulled into more talented acts. I'm sorry. The Hardy Boys, especially Jeff with his charisma, Edge, even Trish Stratus. She kind of was fortunate to be always in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I mean,
she had some talent.
She had some talent.
The thing was, you're right, though. I mean, when you're talking about... I mean, she debuted with S.A. Rios.
Yes.
Right? With Papi Chulo's now S.A. Rios. And I love how they even announced that on, like, Heat or something. Yes. Like, oh, Papi Chulo's now S.A. Rios. And he was only fucking, he was Aguila, and it was only Papi Chulo and, like, Shotgun or right? Nobody knew who the fuck Papi Chulo was.
Or S.A. Rios.
Well, no, that was his debut. No, Papi Chulo is now S.A. Rios. It's like, fuck, Aguila at least had a mask, and I remember him from the WrestleMania. But it was, Lita went in with the flippity-doos with the Hardys, right? The Hardys were the flippity-doo team.
Yeah.
And so Lita got to go in with them and ride that Team Extreme and do that whole thing. Fuck over Matt Hardy, real-life situation, gets to do the thing with Edge. But even as a heel, got to do the thing, got to be the cunt against Trish Stratus, and then the role got to be reversed, and Trish got to be the cunt on her, and it was just, like you said, right place, right time.
She was always in the right place at the right time, and so, I mean, she's famous because the Attitude Era was a popularity of the product, you know, and it seemed, all these guys were, you know, very famous. So, I mean, I'm not denying that when you say star studded, it's like, yes, they're very recognizable.
Yeah.
But as far as a great... They're stars. Because of, like, the gimmick is a star, or you're fortunate to be in the right place at the right time, you get a lot of exposure. But I'm, you know, and by the standards of the Hall of Fame, and, you know, the people they've inducted in the past, this seems like a great class. But when you really break it down,
almost
I don't know that it is.
Every member... Almost every member of the Hall of Fame, after they're done their speech, should just take the ring off and give it to Vince.
Yeah, exactly.
Really. Because, I mean...
It's true.
You had... But
did Hogan get it back from Abyss or from Joseph Park before he left there?
I think so.
Has he still got his ring?
I believe he has his ring.
Okay.
But you got to go back to, like, all these guys and just the package, you know, that got added to them with Jake the Snake. You know, his father was a wrestler, grew up as Jake Roberts, invented the DDT, did the circuit, and then came to the big time and was given the Snake, right? And was given Damian and was able to go on Saturday night's main event and do the promos and such. And it took him to that iconic level. Jake the Snake is an iconic wrestler, if nothing more than his name.
And it's the name, it's the gimmick, it's the Snake.
Everything.
All of it. It's,
you know, he's iconic. He's right here.
Yeah.
Right beside me. He's iconic. And then you go to Paul Bearer. Oh, yes. My dad dressed up like Paul Bearer for Halloween to go out with B the other day.
Famous, like, gimmick.
Yes. Iconic, right? Mm-hmm. And then you, the Ultimate Warrior, of course.
Iconic, yeah.
Iconic, right?
So, horrible in every way, but iconic gimmick despite
that's right.
that.
I mean...
And that's it. It's yeah. But anyways, that's all on the Hall of Fame. We have some questions. We should probably get to
Well, we do. I also have a few little quick hits, items. The training down at developmental, the next training camp. We talked about Kevin Steen and how he's getting in shape.
Yeah.
For Roderick Strong, going to join him in that camp.
He won't do well.
No.
It's too bad because he's one of the probably top five in ring.
If anything, he could get a job as a trainer.
Yeah, coming out of that, he could get a job as a trainer.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah, and ACH.
Yeah, ACH has again, you have guys like him already. You have.
That's what I'm thinking, right? You know, exactly.
It's like you have Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne and Adrian Neville. So, I mean, it's too bad because he's a tremendous high flyer.
He is. It's just not. Lita was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. And he's only 26, though.
Exactly.
So.
Time.
Yeah, he's got time.
New Paul Heyman DVD coming out in October.
I mentioned that a few months ago.
But have you seen the trailers yet?
No.
Oh. They want the real story? Who authorized this? They're awesome. The trailers? Oh, there's two of them out already. They're fucking awesome. You know, I like to listen to all kinds of music. Mm-hmm. Do you like to listen to the rock and roll music?
I like the rap when it's done from AWA and Vern Gagne. I like that.
Do you like Mr. Buck Zumhoff? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so did you hear the story on Buck Zumhoff?
No.
Buck Zumhoff is guilty of all counts.
With his daughter. Molesting her for years.
Yes, molesting the daughter for years.
I heard.
It was like six counts.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the seventh count that was added?
No.
After he was sentenced, he said, I got to take a piss. I was like, okay. Mr. Zumhoff, go and take a piss. So he goes into the bathroom to take a piss. And he tries to run. And all the security guard have to, like, wrestle him down to the ground. And so now he's also been charged with trying to flee.
What a dumb...
Yes. Yes.
I thought you were stupid.
Oh, no.
Oh, oh yeah, no. You still are. Remember, we covered that earlier.
So nice to you. But, yeah, so that was the verdict, anyway. Wow. WWE?
Yeah.
Did you hear about the WWE and what it's worth?
Yeah, like $1.2 billion or something?
$2.03 billion
now. Yeah, I really wish... I kind of thought the stock prices would go up.
About $8,
we talked about it a few years ago.
But it bottomed out about $8.
Yeah, and we talked about now's the time to buy it. We actually, I think, said it on the air. Now's the time to buy, because we eventually... And we didn't.
And it's $29,
yeah, I mean, we'd be fucking... We'd be laughing if we had just, you know, put like $1,000 in.
But yeah, it's $29. I mean, but the thing is with this, again, talking about the bubble, how high is it going to ride? Who knows? Right now they're on an upward tip, but then you don't
get... It will get back to $8 again.
Well, yeah, then you don't get double the money.
Yeah.
On the network TV deal. You don't get a million subscribers come April, whatever it is, 9th, when they're going to announce that yeah, deal, right?
That number.
So, I mean, it's going to be
I mean, having the largest... I mean, yeah, you have your Apple TV and you have your PS4 and PS3, but Xbox 360 outsold all these things. And the fact that they always had those troubles with it will hurt
them sometimes. Was it Xbox One or Xbox 360?
Xbox 360 had the problems with the largest. It had the largest. I don't hear about this being on Wii at all, which I don't know why.
They still have Wiis?
Yeah. And it sold more than PS3 or PS or Xbox 360.
Yeah, but can you get apps on the...
Yeah, you can watch Netflix on it, so why can you do this?
Huh, weird.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. Weird.
No idea. Because it had like 80 million copies sold or whatever. You know, compared to like 50 million Xbox 360s and 45 million PS3s or something like that. So, anyways. So what other notes we got?
That's it. Oh, yeah, Factions. Oh. The DVD that's coming out here. I have the complete match listing for WWE's Wrestling's Greatest Factions.
You have more beer, Blu-ray. Right?
Yeah.
Then pass me one, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. It's a 3-disc. It's coming out May 27th. Okay. So, I said, have you seen who the factions are?
No.
No, okay. The NWO, because there's a picture.
Yeah, I knew that.
From WWE.
I figured DX is in there. Nation Domination. Can I just make a guess? Nation Domination, DX. Give me a moment. Four Horsemen, obviously. Let's try
the Bariquas.
Actually, that's who I was going to say. Yeah,
nice.
Los Bariquas, Filthy Animals.
DOA.
Wasn't thinking them, but I suppose
the Filthy Truth Animals. Commission.
Truth Commission. Three okay. Count.
So let's go to the first one.
Okay.
DX. No one. The Heenan Family.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that works.
The Right to Censor.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
The Fabulous Freebirds.
Stevie Richards will get us some money.
Yeah.
Fabulous Freebirds. Sure, that's good.
Nexus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No problem.
The Dangerous Alliance.
Yeah, that's cool.
The Heart Foundation.
Absolutely.
Yes. And they have, you know what they're going to show? They're going to show the flag match.
Oh, the flag match.
From Raw, July 21st, 1997, from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
That's right.
Great show. NWO.
Yeah.
The Brood.
Interesting, the Brood. Forgot about them.
Yeah, against the Job Squad is their match. Another faction.
Yeah.
The Million Dollar Corporation.
Oh, okay. All
right. For that, I mean, it was the faction of the time, I guess, right?
I suppose. It was a shitty faction, but it was a faction of the time.
Yeah, it was a shitty faction. I guess it was a shitty faction. Yeah, it actually was a shitty faction.
Yeah, it really was.
I love how it's such a shitty faction that the match that they put in doesn't even involve all of the Million Dollar Corporation. It's Tatanka, who was in it, Bam Bam, who was in it, and Bundy, who was in it, and the Heavenly Body's not in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Who did they have? They had IRS, and who was the other guy that was... Nikolai Volkoff,
yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
When he was broke and he was wearing the same suit?
Yes.
Yes. I'm probably going to get up to that pretty soon on the network.
Yeah.
I'm watching all the Raws, by the way, in order from '93.
But they don't have all the way. Some missing. You're saying just watching '93.
So far.
So you're going to watch the network then. You're going to try and watch it.
I'm going to try to watch the network from now on. The Nation of Domination.
Yeah.
And they're going to do the Owen Hart version.
Oh, good. Because
it's Owen Hart. Oh, that's...
Conor Mustafa and D'Lo Brown versus Triple H and New Age Outlaws.
Yeah, but do you see where it's from? Yeah. A year earlier, but still, it's an Owen Hart match from over the...
You couldn't have chose something else?
Yeah, you couldn't have shown another Nation of Domination match than an Owen Hart Over the Edge 98. Oh, yeah, that's just...
That's not good.
No, the Blue World Order.
Yeah, that's not good.
Stevie Richards is getting twice the money.
Yeah, Stevie Richards will get paid twice some residuals from this thing.
Stevie Richard is in as many factions as Owen Hart
This thing is lucky.
Think about that.
Yeah, I don't care. This thing will be lucky to sell 40,000 copies, mind you.
Yeah, it's true. The Corporation.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Disc 3, Evolution.
Evolution, of course.
Here, you know what?
I forget that.
Triple Threat.
Oh, yeah, Triple
Threat. The Oddities?
No.
They're on there.
No.
Triple Threat? Legacy?
Okay.
The fuck was Legacy? Oh, yeah, like...
Orton, Rhodes,
yeah. Like, what the fuck was Legacy again?
Yeah.
I love how it's Kurgan and Golga against Too Much.
Yeah.
Not even Too Cool. From Shotgun Saturday Night. Like, that's how great of a faction they were. Let's show them a Shotgun Saturday Night match. You couldn't have shown them against Kai and Tai at SummerSlam. Again, two factions against each other?
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ. The Dungeon of Doom. You know what they need is DVD extras? All those. Sullivan! Sullivan!
Yeah. Wolfpack? Maybe they'll do Wolfpack.
The Straight Edge Society.
Wow.
Horsemen. Four Horsemen. Okay, there you go, finally. And then Blu-ray exclusives. To be revealed soon. Fuck you.
Okay, so no Filthy Animals, no Barriquas, no...
Well, the Barriquas I'm okay with.
Yeah.
But if you're going to have Legacy...
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's that. Let's get to the question.
Yeah, we got so many. We've been talking about catching up on some of these. So.
Yeah, let's start with the Bannable, and I'll bring my other ones up, because I wrote the Bannable's question. Triple H on Raw said that nobody holds anybody back in his promo with Daniel Bryan. It would be hard to hear with the booing. Anybody that made it is because they've had the talent to make it. And anybody that hasn't made it just hasn't had it to make it. Can we think of people that have had it that didn't make it?
Fuck yeah.
That was my reaction. But I have a hard time thinking of someone that I could slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, guarantee that this guy was going to make it. If they didn't fuck it.
Well, it's like, again, if you go back to the 80s, it's a different era. Because, again, you could say Jake Roberts made it, but he was never, like you say, he was a mid-carder, upper mid-carder guy.
But could Jake Roberts have been the World Wrestling Federation?
Well, that's it. It's a different time when the title didn't change all the time. Where there's not as many people who are the man.
I think Jake Roberts made it. I think, like you said, different time. You think of Jake Roberts, you think of Hacksaw Duggan, you think of the Honky Tonk Man, you think of Brutus the Barber Beefcake. All these guys made it.
Yeah.
But, so, to me, they made it.
Yeah.
But now we're looking at, like, who didn't make it, but had the talent to, that we thought, that got to the TV and thought, that guy's going to make it and didn't.
Oh, there's plenty.
I mean, like, I talk about, like, a Zack Ryder who could have done more.
He could have done more, but he wouldn't have
But he wouldn't have made it.
But Chris Masters could have been a big star if they
Could
done
he made it, though?
Yeah, by Chris the end, yeah, he could have. Shelton Benjamin is another one.
Shelton Benjamin is a guy that when I hummed and I hawed and I thought and he was a guy that I thought he could have made it.
Wade Barrett right fucking now.
I have this hard time believing that Wade Barrett could have made it.
I do. I believe he could.
I don't think right now is that.
I think he
could. I don't.
Good enough worker, terrific talker. Boy, he's been book shitty.
Well, he has. But I also look at, like, Nexus Freed or Fired as his peak, and I even think about then. It's like, could he have been, or would he just, and the guy that did it was Sheamus, right? And it's like, would Wade Barrett, even if he'd won the belt, or
Matt
had
Hardy.
The belt, would he have been a guy that did, Matt Hardy, fuck Matt, Matt Hardy's
not. RVD.
Yeah. You know the thing, RVD, though...
Edge was never given a chance to actually be the man in the company.
Well, he was the man on SmackDown.
He was the man on SmackDown. He was the man in the company.
But he made it.
Yeah.
He made it. Matt Hardy, no. Matt Hardy wouldn't have made it. Jake the Snake, even.
I mean, Matt Hardy would have made it.
No. Matt Hardy would have made it to the bottom of a bottle of pills, is where Matt Hardy would have made it to.
He would do that, too.
Yeah. So, no, he wouldn't have made it.
No, I do think he would have. I think he wouldn't have. There was a point. There was a point.
There was no point.
There was a point.
There was no point. Because he would have fucked it up.
Well, he would have fucked it up.
Jeff Hardy made it and fucked it up.
Well, he just left.
And then did what? Showed up on a fucking main event of a TNA pay-per-view fucking coked out of his mind.
I'm trying to see. There's a lot of guys like that, obviously, in WCW. It's like, you know, it's like, oh boy, they left and then they made it in WWF.
Yeah. Yeah, your not Jerichos, your Benoits, your Guerreros. I mean, yeah.
Not a lot of guys who are the other way around.
I mean, the one guy that I always thought should have been higher than he was, should have been given that opportunity. And again, maybe the Matt Hardy situation is the same, is the case with this, but the British Bulldog.
I think he achieved exactly what he should have.
Owen
was destined to probably at one point be the WWE or World Heavyweight Champion, if not for the events that occurred.
Owen would have been Benoit.
I think
Benoit.
He would have. I think
Owen
would have,
would have been Benoit.
Yeah, and he would have benefited from Benoit and Jericho and these guys.
But I think he would have reached that WrestleMania culmination storyline that Benoit got.
Yeah,
and
I think so too.
The ironic part is just that, you know, he never got to do it, and he never got to go in with, like you said, Benoit's and the Eddies and the unfortunate
like
part
the great
of
matches he would have with, you know, him you versus imagine, RVD back in 2002. Or
throw Owen in there right now against Seth Rollins.
Oh, how amazing!
Jesus Christ, right?
Christ, it would be, and it would be. Owen Hart fan Cassie Nash is a dream match, wouldn't it?
I was in Lethbridge today, actually.
You were?
I was.
Is that where she is? I think that's where she is.
I believe so,
right?
Yeah. That was funny. But yeah, I always think.
Of course, you were smart enough to get out.
I did, yes, I ran. But I always think of Razor Ramon. As well. Just got to that Intercontinental, got in WCW, got the U.S. title, never got, and again, personal demons, a Matt Hardy situation.
I mean, that's the thing is, I don't really think that he was in WWF, but when he was in, there was a point where he's in WCW, he's the best worker.
Yeah.
His size going at the time, he's over, there was a point where he got a couple title matches. I thought maybe he'll get the belt. It's probably his time now.
Yeah.
And they didn't give it to him. Vader didn't make it in WWE.
No.
And that was unbelievable.
But he made it.
He definitely made it.
He made it. You
he
know
did
what
not
mean?
Make it in WWF, though.
He did not.
Incredible.
No, he did. Yeah, that was incredible, actually.
That was an absolute fail from them.
Yes. Yeah, it was. But, I mean, I'm just going, again, and the people that complain about, you know, I didn't get the shot.
I wish I could
I
think of some more.
Back.
There's these guys who always, you know, like a Lance Storm. We know that he could have been used better, but I don't think he could have been world champion, right? Like,
well, that's what I mean. There's lots of guys that I look at, like you said, like a Zack Ryder.
You know who I think? I think
Dolph Ziggler.
I mean William Regal. I love William Regal. Great gimmick, incredible wrestler.
As I said,
he fucked it up himself. I don't know that he ever would have gotten to the. But I think
a tainted supplement, but
twice.
I see. Yeah. But the one,
when he was in
I said, though, the time with William Regal, to me, and I've said this before, was the Eugene deal.
The Eugene deal.
And when he stood at the top of the ramp and berated Hunter, and then they needed to have that match, and that should have been the match that Shelton Benjamin got.
Yes.
Was that Hunter putting over Regal and barely, you know, and that was just...
That was the moment. They could have made... Yeah, I think William Regal's one but person who just, they... I think could have been a real big player that they just didn't see it in.
Yeah.
Vince did, and Vince, and the ironic thing is, and you've heard this before and said, mentioned it before, Vince thought he was a great talker, didn't like his work.
Yeah.
The amazing statement.
Oh, that's just a huge statement. Drake Younger. Also, I forgot to mention him. He's going to NXT. He was the,
I'm not overly familiar with him. I know he's a star in like some of the indies.
CZW, whatever.
Yeah, CZW and PWG and some of those
PW,
things.
Yeah. Main event as well, the main event show. I guess it's up on ION. The contract expires in April, like April 2nd.
Yeah, 4 weeks or so.
And so they went live on the network this past Monday. I had it on. I didn't watch it, really. Yeah. I had it on. It was New Age Outlaws. We're going to do a thing, and then it ended up being the Matadors against the Usos instead of the, and yeah, the New Age Outlaws. Del was kind of promo. I said I wasn't watching it. It was people, and it was on. The network was on.
Really?
But this is one point where I wasn't watching. It just runs. But the reason I wanted...
The network's already asking people what they think of their experiences and if they're willing to pay $11.99.
That's in Canada.
I think you are.
No, they were asking in Canada.
Oh, they'll be asking it. They were looking to raise those prices.
I am in Canada.
Everywhere.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is
in a year's time, look for it to be $11.99.
Yeah, a year's time.
Again,
like
in a year's time, look for Netflix to be $11.99.
Yeah, that's right. But I think no problems. It was live. It was a live stream, and so I wanted.
Nobody's watching. Of course, there's no problems.
What?
20,000 people are watching it.
I just wanted to see. Again, I just want. But
it's not WrestleMania.
But if 20,000 people were having and they had problems, right? Yeah. That's what I wanted to see.
And
am I having problems
at NXT Arrival?
They did. Exactly. So this again, and they had a slight
they have
problem.
A few weeks. We'll see.
Yeah. Oh, I know. So now it's going to be live on the network every week. Hmm. Main event, which is smart.
But nobody's watching.
Hmm.
Usos versus the El Matadors, if they let the El Matadors work.
It was good. It was a good match. I was flipping over and looking over, and it was, yeah, they had a good, match, but, yeah, it's, and the thing that I like about the tag teams in WWE now is that, like, there's the Matadors they can just beat, there's Rybacksel that they can just beat.
Yep, just some team of jobbers.
Yeah, like a jobber team.
Yeah.
And it's perfect, but they're a jobber to the
stars.
They're
about to break up a few teams here, that's the thing, right? Like, I mean, Shield breaking up, and Real Americans breaking up, and that's two heel teams breaking up.
But you can put down the, but they haven't really, and they did a bit, but the Wyatts still, you know, can go on that team.
Wyatts actually against the Usos, I think that those two guys against the Usos at Mania, kind of the way. But there's still a lot of guys, you know, you have, like, Big Show who just returned, and like we say, there's still like, a lot of characters, ADR, and... There's still Ziggler. There's still a lot of guys out there who's like, wow, they got nothing for them for Mania still. So we'll see.
Yeah, but people will... Yeah.
We'll see.
Maybe they'll
four
do
weeks. We got the, 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's we'll right.
See. So, all right, what other questions we got?
Other questions. Let's go with the questions. Okay, and then I apologize because I fucking...
We've been building these up for a long, long time, and we've mentioned this before, that we've had them, and we have a big pile, and... kind of pick a few out there, and we're sorry that some of these are actually pretty old. And there's even those ones that, remember we did a show that the audio got screwed up. We did it at Stephen and Jamie was actually our guest host, and they had all these questions that were sent, and we answered those because it was many months ago, and then the show got screwed up. Nobody, those questions never got answered. We could actually bring some of those back. You know, like, yeah, it's a, but anyways, yeah. So let's get to, let's clean up a couple of these. I mean, I still got a couple games on my that I've created that we haven't played yet either, and we got a buff on, but we're not doing the games tonight. But the buff's going to be on because he's called like 47 times.
I know. He's going
to
be.
He's got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Work out. Take blue pills.
So if
Flex.
This fellow Chris, he would like to know. I said, hopefully Brian. So. he's pissed that everything is getting squeezed on the Bryan thing for Batista versus Orton. Anyway, he'd like to hear our booking for the next year if we were in full control.
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
I'm just reading the questions.
Yeah, but that's a two-hour show right
just
there.
Just to get warmed up. No, just give some highlights. Who would you push? Who would you push? I mean, I'll start. I mean, I what I would do, again, and I've said this, I like the Dave Meltzer scenario of Bryan beats Hunter, so Bryan gets into the main
event.
I don't
think Meltzer came up with that. I think Bryan, it was you and me.
Yeah. Bryan gets in to the main event in a three-way, and Bryan wins the title with 70,000 people going, yes.
I stand for a moment while we're doing this, because these chairs are so comfortable.
Stand in the place where you podcast. Yeah. Bryan wins the title. I have Bryan going through. Then what I have is I have Bryan going through guys individually. He can have individual rematches against. He can have Hunter say, you know what, fuck, I put two of you guys there. And you know what, if you want to do something right, you got to do it yourself. And you have Hunter and Bryan again as a rematch at Extreme Rules. Then you do Orton in a match one-on-one. You do Batista in a match one-on-one. You do, as I said, you can turn a guy and have someone like a Mark Henry, you know, go against Bryan again one-on-one in these matches. And you can have rematches of some of this stuff. You have Orton, you know, I would only do Orton once, to be honest.
Yeah.
But you run him through that. At the same time, I have Antonio Cesaro on the rise separate from Bryan. Maybe you turn Dolph Ziggler or something, too, and you have that. But you can always have this. This is a time, and it's funny how we talked about.
And obviously, you'd push The Miz.
Oh, that cocksucking motherfucker. Yeah. It's funny. We talk about a time where the authority figure against the guy is, you know, we've seen this so many fucking times.
Yeah.
But Daniel Bryan with his underdog deal. Underdog persona, as Stephanie called it on Raw.
Oh, fuck, I gotta talk about Stephanie.
But, I mean, that's it. I'd keep pushing tag teams. I'd make the Intercontinental title important. You know, I would go down to one belt. I don't know if that's booking, but I go down to one belt. I would position Batista against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania next year. I'd do Undertaker and Cena at WrestleMania next year. I would do, I would make the main event of WrestleMania 31 Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt.
I like Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt. I actually would look to Bray Wyatt next year to be Undertaker's opponent.
Yeah, the man they call B mentioned that too. He also mentioned that he thought that the Harper and Rowan reminded him of the Godwins. Well,
so I would have Bray Wyatt versus Undertaker next year.
That's another match.
That, if I was looking next year's Mania. I definitely agree that I mean I'm more of a fan of the Daniel Bryan chase because I believe that's what makes him the star. And as soon as you give him the belt, he's a little less of a star.
I do Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt, and the only reason I do not the only reason, but one of the reasons that I do Undertaker and John Cena is because I turned John Cena heel coming out of that match.
Yeah.
No matter when I do Undertaker and John Cena at WrestleMania, whether it's this year, next year, even in between year, is that
that's... I can say this, the current idea of the current John Cena character of the future goes through him could actually turn him heel.
Anything could turn him heel. He's a... People want to hate him.
Yeah.
Anything could turn him heel. And so it's a... But the future goes through him. That's true. You could have... Because it's not even...
He's going to try and keep all these people down. Protect his spot.
It doesn't even have to be about WrestleMania.
No.
It's the Raw after WrestleMania. Because that's your impact.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you have your impact. And that, yeah, you could do that.
But, I mean, I definitely think Cesaro is earning a push. And the thing is, I like Jack Swagger, too, but Cesaro's the star.
I like Jack Swagger, too. Yeah, I do.
But I mean, Cesaro's the star. And
I love them as a team so much.
I think they're great as a team. I'd love to see them as a babyface team with Seb.
Yeah.
I mean, I really want to see that. But again, I like Cesaro. I like the idea of Cesaro as a babyface. And you know, and the other guy that I would like to bring up and give that huge push to, the guy I think is the next Daniel Bryan, who will get over despite them. And despite having a build exactly like Christian, but a little paler, is Sami Zayn. And I think he's undeniable. And I think Daniel Bryan's undeniable. He's undeniable. And I believe he's going to be a big, big star.
You know who I believe
he'll be a big, big star. So
you're going to go Bray against Undertaker.
Yeah.
Then my WrestleMania 31 main event is Daniel Bryan against Adam Rose.
Adam Rose is a great gimmick.
Adam Rose. We watched. We heard about him. And
well, you asked me who he was. I'm like, it's Leo Kruger. That's why I want to see him. Leo Kruger has been repackaged as a party animal.
I didn't know this, and I saw something about Adam Rose today, and I was like, who the fuck is Adam Rose? And I'm like, oh, I'll watch this.
Leo Kruger was this Truth Commission kind of South African Skinner. He's kind of like a hunter type, like a, you know, really, yeah. I mean.
It was shitty.
He was a mercenary, basically. Like, it was a South African mercenary.
Yeah.
That's what he was.
He started off in NXT. When NXT was first started, he was like this South African, and he was against Richie Steamboat, I think, was the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he was against, and he was like this millionaire guy from South Africa. And then it ended up being that then he morphed into this Skinner character, and now he's Russell Brand.
Yeah, he's Russell Brand from Get Him to the Greek.
Yeah,
and it's pretty great. And it gives him it's a really great opening.
Yeah.
It's great music. We tried to find it so we could use it for tonight's show. And I mean Adam Rose. But again, I mean you have a great entrance. And the entrance will get over. Will the character himself get over? And will he get over as in the ring once the match starts? Like, Fandango was able to get his ring entrance over for a little while. Of course, you know, a little less. Number one, you start losing. Number two, you stop giving him the pyro and all this stuff that gets him over. Of course, he's going to be less over. And that's kind of what I see with this Adam Rose thing is this probably gets him the main roster and probably gets some reactions. But it's a mid-card comedy act, really, is what it is. But that's fine, you know. You can have some of those. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know. That's about it. But I mean, yeah. I mean, Sami Zayn and Cesaro. I mean, all ROH guys. You know, I mean, hey, ROH still has given them some great talent, and some more still can come out of there. Adam Cole and Steen and these guys, the Briscoes. There's still guys there that they can get.
Hmm.
I mean, it's just like
Gregory Cole.
Yeah, good point.
Because we have Adam Rose.
That's right. Shane Cole.
Shane Cole. Maybe it could
sounds
be
familiar?
Keith Cole.
Ah, yes.
And Kent Cole. Great mullets.
Yeah. Speaking of which, not Dwayne Gielgud.
No.
Holy crap.
See? Yeah. And you pissed away on that. Okay, here's
hey, you know, I just want to say this, actually, Emma. Boy, they need to alter her entrance. They need to make it somehow smaller. So that the bubbles and her look bigger. Like, when you're pulling way back and she's doing that dance from really far away and the bubbles are so tiny on the screen or whatever, it's like it engulfs her. They need to, like, that's one of the reasons why she worked in this small stage of NXT, right? And the close-up shots and the dance. So they need to find a way to do that. But you know what? Actually, I was going to say this, actually. AJ, Lita... you know, most of their best female performers of the last 12 years have been ones that came from independence, just like the ROH guys, like the Cesaros and Sami Zayns and Daniel Bryan's. They have been ones that were wrestlers who came in. It's not the models they found and turned into wrestlers. There's only been a couple of those that have turned out. Trish, obviously,
is the
highest one.
Mae Young.
So that's it, Trish and Mae Young, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, Molly Holly, Ivory, they did the whole deal, right?
And, exactly. And, it's, you know, that's
Victoria
still where you're getting...
Victoria did the whole thing.
Yeah, Victoria Glamazon, what her name there is.
Beth Phoenix,
yeah. Like, these ones, the model ones you found, they're, you know, they don't look generally... They don't become anything, generally.
So. Yeah, I mean, like, really... Trish.
And Kelly Kelly is what Kelly Kelly is, but she's not, you know, memorable. She's not going to be someone.
No, Trish. I mean,
Trish is it, yeah.
I mean, you had your Tori yeah. Wilsons and your...
Now
and
maybe
your...
Summer Rae will become something, all right. I mean, Layla became a pretty decent worker, but it's not memorable, you know.
Yeah.
So it's still your best place to get them.
Okay, let's see here. This one comes from Pratik Nagar.
What? What country is he from?
I don't know. It doesn't say. But he is. He said, what he wants to do? Says,
we have listeners all over the world.
He says, hi, Addy and Mo. Hi, Addy and Mo.
Thank you.
Let me begin by congratulating Addy on his successful 2013 resolution.
I'm so proud of you, man. I didn't think you could do it.
You know, thank you.
But 2014, you're doing well, too, on yours.
Great job. Well done. Can Mo not be a fat fuck for 2014?
No. 2015.
But then he says, just kidding. So he knows.
He knows.
Anyway.
So, what was this guy's name again?
Pratik Nagar.
Okay, Pratik Nagar. I just want to say, first off, Addy, how did you create that name for yourself?
What?
When you wrote this.
I didn't write this.
What?
No, see, it says, anyway, I'm a football. Soccer, as you'd call it. Fan.
I'd call it football, because I was born in Denmark.
Hmm? That's right, you're Dutch. And I was wondering if you could come up with a soccer-style dream for the WWE/F. Here's the catch. Soccer is based on a formation. This is how I'd like you to pick the dream team. Ready? Well, the dream team is already Beefcake and Valentine. Yeah, you could throw in the new dream team of Dino Bravo. But, okay. The dream team. One promo guy.
Okay.
Four heels.
Okay.
Four workers.
Okay.
Two superstars. Like Hogan, Rock, whatever, right, Austin. So let's just go this one by one. Let's just pick. It says Ricard's Twin Blady. So I probably shouldn't have read his real name. Twin Blady, perhaps your only Indian fan.
I don't think he is, actually.
So,
for instance, our good buddy, the Great Khali.
Well, it just means this guy's from Wichita.
Oh.
He's an Indian. Anyway, one promo guy. Who would you say...
Now, but before we go on with this, I want to say, if you pick somebody, does that mean I can't pick them and vice versa? Do you want to do it that way?
Sure, let's do it that way.
Do it that way?
Yeah. Pick a promo guy.
A promo guy, does that mean a manager?
It doesn't say. It just says a promo guy. Pick any fucking guy you want that cuts promos.
Dusty Rhodes.
You fucker. That's who I was thinking of, too. I was.
Oh, then you can pick him. Who cares?
No. I'll go. You said Dusty Rhodes. I am going to go with... because there's other guys that I don't say Mr. Fuji, no. But promo guys. I am going to say Paul Heyman.
Okay, no problem with that.
Yeah. Four heels.
Four heels. You go first this time, because I went first last time.
Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Ric Flair. No. four heels. I will go with Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Fucker.
As a heel. You want to go on now?
You got Rowdy Roddy Piper, four heels. Oh, boy. Greatest. I mean, Rowdy Roddy Piper's the guy, right?
Yeah.
It's like the greatest, like the second greatest heel of all time is Vince McMahon. and I wouldn't go with him. I'm going to go Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho, right. So, Piper, Jericho. I am going to go with the... Yeah, I think it will. I'm going to go with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
That's a great pick.
They've got workers in here, too, so I kind of went...
Yeah, I know.
But...
Yeah, I know. But what I'm thinking of them standing out with their heel ability.
Yeah.
You know. Poof, shoof, joe, da, da. That's my next pick.
Da! Ken Shamrock.
No.
Oh.
Who's that got that great? Shawn Michaels? No, Shawn Michaels probably goes under superstars.
But if you pick Shawn Michaels as a heel, then that frees you up to pick two other superstars.
Okay, I go Shawn Michaels.
Okay, you
can
go with Shawn Michaels as a heel. That's a hole of a pick, as they say.
Yeah, between him and Jericho, I got some.
I would go with. I've got Rowdy Roddy Piper. I've got the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. I'm going to stick in the Hall of Fame, and I'm going to say Edge.
Oh, that's a great pick. Edge is a terrific heel.
Yeah.
Terrific heel.
Tatanka, is that what I'm hearing?
No, absolutely not.
I think that's cheating because he was with the Million Dollar Man when he turned heel.
Oh, boy. Because you don't want to fuck this up, really.
No. It's so important. No, I'm just kidding, Twin Blady. This is important to us. I have three heels. You have two heels
so
far.
I have two heels.
So pick a third.
Bring me up the roster of WWE 2K14 or something. Like, I'm just blanking out here. You know what? I'm going to go,
look at my bookcase, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, I know.
Dixie Carter.
Cunt. I'm sorry, was that you who said that? Because that's usually you who says that. Let me just pull some of these out. Okay, you know what? Let's go. I'm going to go with somebody I think was a great heel.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go off the radar here. I'm going to go Shane Douglas.
Shane Douglas. Okay. Shane Douglas is your third heel.
Yeah, Shane Douglas.
Okay. All right. Well, then, I'm just trying to... I have Rowdy Piper. I have the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. I've got Edge, the Rated R Superstar. And just trying to think of...
I got my next.
I'm going back and forth.
All this time I spent picking this, and you couldn't, have decided.
I'm torn. I've got, eight names in my head here.
Really?
That's the part. I am going to go with someone that was a hot baby face, turned hot heel. I'm going to go with the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
That's a damn good one. Yeah. I'm going to go with Terry Funk.
Terry Funk. Awesome.
Terry Funk is my last pick.
Terry Funk is your last pick. Now we get four workers.
Okay. I guess I get to go first on this one.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you said Terry Funk, so now it's my turn.
No.
There you go.
But, yeah. I have four workers. So I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan.
Okay, great. Great pick. You have Shawn Michaels and Daniel Bryan.
I do.
I'm going to go with Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, Eddie Guerrero was very close to being my pick there.
Mm.
Great Eddie Guerrero. So I'm going with Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio, okay. I am going to go with Kurt Hennig.
Okay. I'm going to go with Kurt Angle.
That's the other one. I was going to make it a Kurt sweep. So. I'm going to go right here. I'm going to go with Owen Hart.
Oh, that's a great one. Holy fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I only have one left.
I know. And I know you want to pick the Junkyard Dog.
I'm going to go with the Dynamite Kid.
Dynamite Kid. And you say the Dynamite Kid, and I already have my pick made in my mind. I'm just going to go with Chris Benoit. So
there you go.
So that was
AJ Styles was also in consideration.
As was AJ Lee.
As was Bret Hart.
Yeah, Bret Hart.
But I don't think he'll go in under in the superstar.
Now we got two superstars.
You're going to go first.
I get to go first.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm going to go with Hulk Hogan.
Okay, so I'm going Steve Austin.
Steve Austin, and I'm going to go with The Rock. And then you're going to go with Ric Flair.
Well, because Randy Savage is gone.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right? So now I'm sitting there going, okay, well, who's next? Like, John Cena.
Well, you're going to go with John Cena.
No, I'm not necessarily. I'm just
no, 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 I'm not.
I'm throwing the names out there that are possible when you're talking about this level, though, that reached that.
Bret Hart. I mean, the Ultimate Warrior. John Cena. Ric Flair. Bruno Sammartino. I would say Bob Backlund. Nah, maybe not. But hey, he's a B-plus player.
I'm going to go with... I got it. Kenta Kobashi.
Kenta? Well, this is an all-time WWE slash F, though.
Oh, is it? Fuck.
Yeah.
I'm going with Flair.
Ric Flair. Well, it's like Austin Rock, Hogan Flair.
How can we not have Bret Hart on the team?
I don't know. Workers.
I know, because I was thinking he would go under Superstar.
I know, so
and
did
then,
I.
Then
I was
going to
pick him as Superstars.
Fuck it, I'm going with him under Superstar over Flair. My
done.
Team.
Done.
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 So my team, just to run it down again then, is Steve Austin, Bret Hart.
Yep.
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, you say Daniel Bryan, Kurt Hennig.
Kurt Angle.
Who are the workers?
Yeah, that's what Kurt Angle.
I'm drinking. Did
Daniel
I mention
Bryan,
this?
Kurt
Daniel
Angle,
Bryan.
Dynamite Kid.
Dynamite Kid, yep. Yeah, you got four heels. So you picked.
No, you picked Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio, yeah. And then I got my heels. I got Funk, Jericho. Michaels.
Yeah, Michaels.
And
who was your first heel that you picked?
Jericho was my first, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. So then you picked...
Funk.
Yeah.
Jericho. Michaels.
Greg Valentine?
No.
Oh.
No, it wasn't Greg Valentine. Somebody who could get real heat, though.
Vince?
No.
Who the fuck did you pick?
I don't know.
Why didn't we write this down?
I don't know.
Twin Blady, we apologize. Okay, and your... Because
I just wanted to break down
and
my
your
team.
And your promo guy was?
Dusty.
Dusty?
Yeah.
Okay, so you keep thinking, and I'll go through mine. I have Paul Heyman as my promo guy. As my heels, I have Rowdy Roddy Piper. I have the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. I have Edge.
Shane Douglas.
Yeah, Shane Douglas. See?
Yeah.
You were going off the board there.
Yeah, exactly. Great deal.
Edge and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Yeah.
As the four workers, I have Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, I have Owen Hart. Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
And I have...
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
Those three.
And I have Kurt Hennig.
Yeah.
Four.
All four gone.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ. And as my superstars, I have Hogan and Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us who you think got the better team there, Twin Lady. Send us back. And anybody else who wants to kick in, you can kick in with your favorite team. We'll read them on the air at Addy, Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.com. That's
yes.
Again, email it to Addy, Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.com. Or find us on Twitter at WeTalkWrestling. And also, you can leave a comment on the bottom of the show, the comment section, right in your team. So, Twin Lady, thank you very, very much. Tell us who you think won. Give us your team and anybody else who feels like it, and we can always read those on there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We also got one from our old friends Brian and Lee.
Oh, really?
But I don't know if there's a question, and I apologize because this got lost, and it's from like 2 months ago. Hmm.
For us, that's pretty recent.
It's... Yeah, I know. But they wanted to...
Brian Lee, hey?
Yeah.
I love that this former WCW, ECW, WWF star listens. It's awesome.
Hmm. Here's a good question, though. That they did a bunch of Royal Rumble booking, which unfortunately you know, what do we got think lost of this booking? Yeah, I got lost. You're dumb. Anyway. They did also say nice New Year's resolution. Welcome back to being an asshole. Just one question. If HBK is the Mr. WrestleMania, okay, who's the Billy Gunn of WrestleMania then?
That's a good question. That's a great question.
If Shawn Michaels is the greatest WrestleMania performer, who's the worst WrestleMania performer?
And let's give a caveat that he has to have had at least how many matches?
I don't think you need a caveat if someone just...
Giant Gonzalez.
Really sticks out. Yeah, like a motherfucker. Exactly.
But that's easy, though. In one match, and it's awful.
I mean, by that logic, though, would Special Delivery Jones not...
No, he jobs quickly and smartly for the guy. Giant Gonzalez is...
If we want to say
he had at least four matches.
As Bob Uecker pointed out in the WrestleMania 4 Battle Royal,
yeah,
at least the guys that went out early got their per diem money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's say they had to have at least four matches.
Four matches. Okay, now I got to fucking find out how many matches they had.
Well, three, four, like just off the top of your head. Somebody who's been in more than one, who's been in multiple matches.
Multiple shitty WrestleMania matches.
Yeah, every single time he just came out there and shit the bed.
So, like, John Cena?
For a while, you could have said Undertaker.
Bundy and Gonzalez. Yeah. He was out for 10.
Yeah.
He had Bundy, Gonzalez, Diesel. Then he won the title, but it was against Sid. But he still won the title. But he won the title. And then he had Kane. I mean, none of these, but they had stories behind them. Yeah, see, the Boss Man sucked. And then what was 16? Was he around for 16?
I don't remember who was around for 16. 17 obviously was
Hunter, the first one. Yeah, that was good. And that's
Mark really when this. Henry, though.
Orton even. But
the Orton one was a good match, but. But yeah, so who's the
Billy Gunn? Who's the Marty Jannetty?
Yeah.
of WrestleMania then.
The guy's had many matches, but they're just not.
Is the answer Marty Jannetty? No. You know, even you think of some of the early ones.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you had Uncle Elmer against Adrian Adonis for God's sake.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, Junkyard Dog did have several shitty matches.
I wouldn't say several.
Yeah, three.
Yeah.
Three shitty matches.
Yeah, was WrestleMania 1 that shitty?
Yes.
Was it against Greg the Hammer Valentine?
Shitty, yes.
Huh. I don't really remember.
Everything was shitty on that show except for like two things. Go back and watch it again.
I will. On the network. Two things. What was the two things that...
The main event.
Okay.
And I think, if I remember correctly... I think it was, call up the card for me.
You want me to name the card here for you? Executioner against Tito Santana.
No.
David Sammartino against
Bruce. That's not bad, actually.
Matt Bourne against Ricky Steamboat.
That's the other good one. That was pretty good.
The body slam for cash match.
No, awful.
You know, actually, what was the second highlight of WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Was the end of the tag team title match. The aftermath.
I remember the aftermath.
It was they used Blassie's cane.
Oh yeah.
To hit Wyndham or Rotundo. I don't remember who for the pin.
Yeah.
And afterwards, Lord Alfred Hayes is interviewing, or me and Gene. I don't remember who was interviewing the team that because they won. Sheik and Volkov won the tag team titles and Blassie. He goes, that nefarious, I don't know what you're talking about, nefarious methods. And Blassie's going all off. He goes, you hit him with a cane. What cane? That was classic.
That I remember when now.
You hit him with a cane. Cane? I don't have a cane. Yeah. Do you see a cane? Oh, that was good.
You know who I think had a bunch of shitty WrestleManias, and despite being such a great talent? There's a few guys, but Ted DiBiase stands out.
Ted DiBiase, we started WrestleMania 4, had you know, had a lot of matches at WrestleMania. Had three matches at WrestleMania 4.
They're pretty shitty.
Well, the Morocco match was actually not bad.
Not
the
that
Morocco
bad.
Match, the finish of the Morocco match is one of the best finishes that I've ever seen. What?
Wasn't no way. No. I'm thinking the one against Hacksaw. That was the one.
Oh, when Andre punched him and he ran. No. When he cut him, when he just stun gunned him, caught him in the body. That was the first time I'd really ever seen that move.
Yeah. Jake Roberts had a bunch of shitty matches at WrestleMania.
Honky. Rick Rude.
Boring.
15-minute draw. It was boring. Rick, the blindfold match.
Awful.
I mean, he's. Andre, I mean, God bless him,
but Andre couldn't move, couldn't do it.
And Big John Stein was brought in as the ref to that was really the
that was the hook on it.
That match at WrestleMania 12. His return. That was his return, It was a nostalgia pop. It was the first nostalgia pop probably ever. At the Royal Rumble.
Probably, yeah.
You know, at least I remember. And they bled it over to the...
And Tatanka had several shitty matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but Tatanka also... Well, did he? I mean, I don't know that he did. He, his match against some Rick Martel wasn't shitty. It wasn't great.
Well, it was pretty shitty.
Yeah, it wasn't shitty. It was fine. I mean, it was a decent match. The match against Shawn Michaels, probably the best of them all.
That was probably the second best match on that WrestleMania, and it was 1.5 stars.
Yeah, but, you know.
2 stars. It was,
it was 2.5. Yeah, it was, you know.
Yeah.
And then he got bumped off 10, right?
Yeah.
And then...
was it 11 of him and Luger?
No, him and Luger was at a SummerSlam.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Because Luger and with the Allied Powers, Luger and Bulldog against the Blue Twins, Eli and Jacob with Zebekiah Coulter there in the.
That's right. I think I have to say Junkyard Dog or Jake are my two. I think I might actually have to go with Jake.
There's got to be someone worse.
There is. Let me think about it. We'll come back to it next week. Why don't we wrap this thing up and go OUT on this episode?
Bundy.
Bundy was... You know what? Bundy's match with Hogan worked, though, for what it was supposed to be.
In the midgets, and then he had, what, a
and
Taker
the midgets
squash?
Gave us the great moment, the little beaver.
Yeah, little beaver all over this place. And a Taker squash.
The Taker squash.
That's only his three mania. That's his... Yeah.
That's better than Junkyard Dogs.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. Well, we are going to wrap it up again. @ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com. Check us out on iTunes as well. New feed. So if you got to resubscribe to that to get it.
Now, you'll notice right now there's only 2 episodes up in our old feed. Still
no, there's more now.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to repopulate here. It should be repopulating all the time in our old feed. If it is still active, should be gone any second now. You're right. It's finally repopulated, and we knew it would. I don't want you to just subscribe on iTunes. Absolutely, great way to see us. Even better yet, or another way, we can do both. You can just subscribe obviously through our own RRS feed. Now we've added on the website. You'll notice on the right hand side the function where it says subscribe to We Talk Wrestling.
Yes.
You simply put in your email address, and anytime a new post goes up, whether it's a podcast or anything else, like a blog or whatever else, you'll get an email. Your information isn't going to anybody else. It's not being shared. We don't even know what it is. It's just it's an automated thing, so you'll get an update about any posts that come up.
And that's a shoot.
That's a shoot.
Yeah, we don't even know what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely use that function and iTunes. And hey, since we're new on iTunes, rate us.
It's a new deal, right? So it's like a whole new deal.
Like,
so yeah, if you've rated or put a comment in before, you could do it again and would count.
Really appreciate it.
Count as a new, and it would be appreciated. But and then @ADDIE at We Talk Wrestling. We're also at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter.
Because we don't do this shit for our health. In fact, I don't know why we do it.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Just for the satisfaction of hearing my voice.
The funny thing is, we stopped listening back to our show, like, after show 10.
You did. But that's going to do it. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling as well. So that is going to do it for
and,
yet.
Yeah, look for a few more tweaks coming to the website and make it look even better now that we've have. You'll notice a different look and layout design and everything like that. Now, I had a few problems with the updated theme.
Mm-hmm.
Caused a few issues, but you'll notice that it's going to get over here over the next few days, get even better. It's going to be a great looking site here really soon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, cool.
So, in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, we never had Buff on.
Fuck.
Next time. Next. No. Next. Yes, next time.
Next time.
Send your questions about Buff.
Yes, ask Buff.